right, Luke 10. Luke chapter 10. After our Lord, it says after these things, verse 1, the Lord appointed others 70 also. After our Lord called and commissioned the 12 apostles, gave them power, commission, instruction. Here he appointed 70 men besides the 12, and sent them before him into the cities whither he himself would visit. Much like John the Baptist came, the forerunner, who cried, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Our Lord intended to visit several cities, and he sent these men beforehand, two by two, to acquaint the people of those places with his ministry, to prepare for his visit, much like John the Baptist. Well, these men went out, and I want to pick up in verse 17 where they came back. The 70, Luke 10, 17, they finished their mission. They returned to the Lord Jesus, and they gave an account of their journey and of their success. And it says in verse 17, and the 70 returned again with joy. Now, notwithstanding the difficulties, I know they encountered many difficulties. Our Lord told them that. You remember, as I read to you, he said, you're going to run into some problems, reproaches, resentment, ill treatment, rejection. But in spite of all these things that must have and did happen to them on this mission, during this mission, they came back just happy. They returned again with joy, exuberance. They came back saying, listen, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through your name. This experience, seeing demons subject to them in his name, preaching his name, using his name, coming out of people. This experience had thrown them into a state of astonishment, a state of joy. One writer said a sort of a rapture at the power they had experienced. This is what they came back with. Lord, first thing, first word, the devils are subject to us through your name. And our Lord said in verse 18, now watch this, and he said to them, I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. I saw the devil and all his host fall from heaven. This was no news to him that Satan and the devils should fall before his name. They fell back yonder before his name. This was no news to him that devils should be cast out of people at the sound of his name, or be in subjection to them in his name. He said, I saw, I beheld, I was present, and I saw him and his angels fall from their first estate, from their habitation of bliss, down to the pits of hell. I saw that. Let's read about it. Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah tells us what our Lord is saying that he saw. He said in, Isaiah says in chapter 14, verse 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? You were the son of the morning. You were mighty, great, and powerful. And how art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For you said in your heart, I'll ascend into heaven, I'll exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I'll be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. That's what I saw. I saw Satan and all those that followed him. I saw them fall like lightning from heaven, just gone. In verse 19, he says to these disciples, he says, behold, I give you power. You see, our Lord has all power in heaven and earth. He has all power. He has all power over all powers. He said, Father, you've given me power over all flesh. He said to his disciples, I have all power in heaven and earth. He has all power. All power over the enemy. All power over all flesh. And he said, now I give to you, my people, believers, power to tread upon serpents. He's talking about Satan here now. He's not talking about we're supposed to go out and walk among snakes. I went to a zoo one time and I saw these fellas, snakes everywhere, and they had these high boots on. They were walking around among snakes and scorpions. He's saying here, I've given you power over Satan. I've encompassed you and care for you, and you don't have to be afraid of him. You don't have to be afraid of Satan. And over the, I've given you power over all the power of the enemy. And listen, and they're not going to hurt you. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. You're my people. I get the picture here. They came back and they said, the devils are subject to us in your name. He said, that's no news to me. I saw Satan fall from heaven. It's no news to me that Satan is in subjection to me or to you. You're mine. And I've given you power. I've given you deliverance. I've given you a shield. You see, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Listen to this over in Ephesians 4. You need to look at this. Ephesians 6, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God. What's that? That's faith. That's truth. That's the gospel. Down here he says, your loins are girt with the truth. You have the breastplate of righteousness. Your feet are shod with the gospel. So we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Put on the whole armor of God. You may be able to stand against the serpents and scorpions of hell. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. So you take the whole armor of God, you'll be able to withstand in that evil day and to stand. So I give you the power to stand, to walk, even among these enemies, serpents, scorpions. They infest the whole universe, the whole world. But they're not going to hurt you. They're not going to hurt you. Nothing by any means shall hurt you or hinder your ministry and your work. I wish preachers would quit. I hear them on TV. I know the grace preachers don't. Quit talking about Satan and Satan this, Satan that, Satan this. Say it to old Satan. Satan comes and he's not going to hurt you. These fellows came back, and that's what they said. The devil's a subject to us. Well, naturally they are. You're mine. You're mine. I've given you the power. I've delivered you from the enemy. I've delivered you from his kingdom. You've been translated. You're not in his kingdom. You've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's Son. You got power over these this outfit. They're not going to hurt you. As far as I'm concerned, as far as you're concerned, they don't even exist. I don't think of the devil. You ever think of the devil? I don't run around worried about him. My Lord took care of him, as far as I'm concerned. Now the world's got to worry about him. Now the world's got, they're under the power, the prince of the power there, but not believers. Not believers. You see that? I've given you power over to tread, to walk upon serpents and scorpions, the power of the enemy. They're not going to by any means hurt you. They don't have any control over you or power over you or authority. They don't even have a key to your house. They're not coming in. That's right. Notwithstanding, now watch this. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice, not that the devil's a subject unto you. Don't rejoice at the fact that the devil's subject to you or even will come out of men at your command. Satan's always departed at the command of Christ. Satan's always run from the name of Christ, the blood of Christ, the gospel of Christ, the truth of Christ. He's always run from that. He's not going to have anything to do with that. But I tell you what to rejoice in, but rather rejoice because your names are written, not will be written, not might be written, not could be written. Your names. Henry Mahan. Think about this now. Richard Penny, Bob Coffey, John Chapman, Carter Brown, Bill Penny. Your name is written in heaven. You want something to rejoice in? Don't rejoice over somebody got healed. So, you know, this happened, that happened. The devil, he ran. He's always going to run when my Lord speaks. But I tell you what you rejoice in. Your name is already. Your names are written, particular persons. That's why he's talking to 70 men who've come back from a mission. Your name, Rob, is written in heaven. That's something to rejoice in. That's it. It's already written. By whom? By God. By God. You've been elected in Christ by God. You've been redeemed in Christ by the blood of the Son. You've been predestinated by God to salvation and eternal glory, and your name, unchangeably, immutably, just as sure and certain as God is in heaven, your name's written in heaven. Now you can rejoice in that. You want something to be happy about? It's your names are written in heaven. I went through the scriptures and read and jotted down some scriptures that have to do with this names written in heaven. Now you just listen, I'm going to read them. I want you to read this one with me though, Exodus 32. I want you to look at this one, Exodus 32. Exodus 32, begin with verse 31. You see that. Exodus 32:31. Israel had offended God, greatly offended the Lord. He was angry. He told Moses he's going to destroy him. And Moses, verse 31, returned to the Lord and said, "Oh, this people have sinned a great sin. They've made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written." The Lord said, "Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book." Whose book is it? God's book. Who wrote it? Moses tells us who wrote it. God wrote it. God owned it. He said, "It's my book. It's my book." Moses said, "You've written it." He says, "I blot out of it whom I will. I put it in whom I will. Be merciful to whom I will." So that's the first scripture. I know whose book it is, and I know who wrote it from way back there in the beginning. Exodus. My book. God says it's my book. And I've written it. Now listen to these scriptures. Psalm 139. David said, "My body was not hid from thee." Me, David. "When I was made in secret and curiously wrought in my mother's womb, your eyes did see my substance, and yet being incomplete, in thy book all my members were written when there weren't even any of them." So I know whose book it is. It's his. And I know he wrote it, and I don't know when he wrote it, before I was ever born. That song they used to sing is a new name written down in glory. God's not writing any new names. What's written is written. The people are called whose name are written. That's right. Listen to Daniel 12, verse 1. At that time of trouble, thy people shall be delivered, every one of them. Every one of them that shall be found written in your book, they'll be delivered in that day of judgment. Daniel talks about the judgment, the end of the world. Every one of them. Daniel 12, 1. Revelation 13, 8. And all that dwell on the earth shall worship the beast whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. They're going to worship the beast. Daniel said in the day of judgment, everybody's written in the book will be delivered. And John wrote in Revelation 13, everybody not written in the book gonna worship the beast. Revelation 17, 8, they that dwell on the earth shall wonder. They wonder at all this that's going on, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. Christ said to those in the judgment, I never knew you. I don't know you now. I never knew you. Their names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. Revelation 21:27. And there shall in no wise, listen, there shall in no wise enter into that city anything that defiles, that worketh abomination, that maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Preacher, how does a fellow know if his name's written in the Lamb's book of life? Our Lord, these fellows came back and he said, rejoice that your names are written, already written, in the book of life. How do you know? Well, let me ask some questions. Number one, it's God's book. You believe in God? You believe God? He that cometh to God must believe that he is. It's God's book. Abraham believed God. I know Abraham's name's in the book of life because he believed God. He didn't just believe there was a God. He believed God. He believed God's word. He believed God's truth. He believed God. He believed what I just read. Because God said it. So if you believe God, honestly, believe God in your heart. Believe his word. Believe him. Your name's in his book. Secondly, it's called the Lamb's book. Do you believe the Lamb? Abel brought a lamb. What is this lamb, preacher? Well, you know what this lamb is. Abel brought a lamb, a substitute, a sacrifice, a sin offering. And God had respect to Abel and his offering, Abel and his lamb. Abraham, going up the mountain, said to Isaac, his son, said, God's going to provide himself a lamb. God's the lamb. You believe that? Moses said, take the lamb without spot or blemish, test it, slay the lamb, roast it with fire, put the blood on the door. I see the blood, I'll pass over you. You believe that? That's the lamb I'm talking about. It's a sacrificial lamb. It's the lamb, God's lamb. It's the lamb provided. It's the lamb slain. It's the lamb sacrificed. John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God. There he is. Jesus of Nazareth. You believe that? Is my name in the book? It's God's book. I believe God. It's the book of the Lamb. It's Christ's book. Man, I believe Christ. I embrace Christ. I rest in Christ. Christ is my all and in all. Christ is all. Now, wait a minute. God's book, the Lamb's book, the Lamb that was slain. It's not just the baby in Mary's arms, Madonna, mother and baby. No, sir. It's not the cradle Jesus. It's the cradle Christ. It's the crucified Christ. He died for my sins. He died that God may be just and justified. That's the message of the Lamb slain. that God may be just and justify me, that God may be holy and put away my sins in a righteous manner. I believe the Lamb was slain for my sins. Do you? Your name's not in his book if you don't believe that. Why would you want your name in the book of a God you don't believe? I wouldn't want my name in the book of a false God. But I believe God. My name's in his book. I believe the Lamb. It's God's Lamb. It's God himself. He'll provide himself the Lamb. And the Lamb was sacrificed to him, and the Lamb was slain. Wait a minute now. God's book, the Lamb's book, the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. He identifies which lamb it is. It's not just a lamb. It's not just any old lamb. It's the lamb purposed. How important is this gospel of God's sovereign grace? It is the gospel. It's the Lamb of God in the everlasting covenant of redemption before God ever formed the world, before he ever hurled the sun, the moon, the stars into space, before he ever made man and put him in the garden, before man fell. God provided an everlasting covenant, an everlasting righteousness, an everlasting surety, an everlasting redeemer who was the Lamb slain in the purpose mind of God before the world began. And that's when this book was written. When he was designed and decreed and set forth as God's Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. You wouldn't want your name in the book of somebody that God searched around and found lately, would you? an eternal God's the only kind of God you can worship. Eternal God. These are the mercies of a covenant God. David died in peace because David said, God hath made with me an everlasting covenant. He's the surety of the everlasting covenant. You believe that gospel, you can be certain your name's in the book of life, because if your name wasn't there, you wouldn't believe this. Because look at the next verse, 21. You see, these disciples came back rejoicing that the devils were subject to them. And Christ said, don't rejoice that the demons are subject to you. I saw Satan fall as light. But you rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And in that very hour, our Lord rejoiced. Our Lord rejoiced. In what did he rejoice? I thank you, Father. He rejoiced not so much in the success of these disciples or because the devils were subject to them. He rejoiced in the sovereign mercy of God. He said, Father, I thank you, Lord of heaven and earth. You've hid these things from the wise and the prudent. And you reveal them to babes. What are these things that God revealed? God's book, God's Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. The things that pertain to salvation, eternal life, redemption, relation with God, the person and work of Christ. These things are hid from the wise and the prudent, but you've revealed them. Father, you have revealed them to these babes, to these little ones. I thank you because it seemed good in your sight. Where are these things hid? They're in Christ. That's where they are. The scripture says, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's where God's purpose, God's glory, God's attributes, God's character, everything's in Christ. Well, why are they hid? They're not hid to people who know Christ. They're hid because people are looking for these things everywhere but in Christ. Anything's hid to you if you're not looking where it is. If you're not aware of, somebody hasn't told you where it is, it's hid from you. But when somebody tells you where it is, it's no longer hid. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, who are going about to establish their own righteousness. But God hath revealed these things unto us. He hath revealed unto us his glory in the face of Christ Jesus. I thank you, Father. Where are they hidden? In Christ. Why are they hidden? Because they're seeking them everywhere but in Christ. Well, how is this knowledge attained? Look at verse 22. All things are delivered to me of my Father. All things. That's all things in heaven and earth and under the earth. All angels, all principalities, powers, beings. All the elect are delivered to Christ to be redeemed by him, to be called by him, to be justified and kept and glorified by him. All the blessings of grace, the glory, happiness of his people are delivered unto me. And no man knows who the Son is. They don't know the perfections of his nature. They do not know the whole of his work. They do not know the blessings of his covenant. They do not know all that he did and suffered in his mediatorial capacity. And they don't know who the Father is. That's what it says here. All things are delivered to me of my Father. They don't know who the Son is. They don't know who the Father is. They don't know his essence, his eternal glory, his mind, his will, his purpose, his decrees, his counsels, his covenant, his grace, his mercy, his righteousness, what he's prepared for them that love him. They don't know that. I hadn't seen, ear had not heard, never entered their heart. They don't know who the Son is. They don't know who the Father is. But wait a minute. But the Son knows the Father, and the Father knows the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. That's how we discover these things. They're revealed to us. They're revealed to us. They're preached, and they're revealed. Revealed to us. You know, he said this. Matthew records this same statement. Matthew 11. Turn over there a minute. Matthew 11. I want you to look where Matthew records this. In Matthew 11, verse 25. Matthew 11, 25. Look at this. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things, all these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. So come to me. So come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, come to me. Here's where the mercies are. Here's where the redemption is. Here's where the grace is. Here's where life is in Christ. Come to me. I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. Seek Christ. Seek Christ. Study Christ. Receive Christ. Believe Christ. Trust Christ. Rest in Christ. Look to Christ. Learn of Christ. I'm meek and lowly, but you'll find rest in your souls. Unto your souls. That's how it's revealed. I'm going to wind this up now. Let's look at this. Jesus rejoiced in spirit. Thank you, Father. You hid these things from the wise and prudent, the worldly wise, the crafty, the promoters, the con men, the con artists, the folks that are seeking everything but your glory, those who glory in appearance. These things are hid. Not that God takes them and hides them to keep away. No, they put them in Christ. They're looking everywhere else. They're in Christ. They've always been in Christ. Moses found them there. Moses wrote of me, he said. Abraham found them in Christ. Abraham saw my day and rejoiced. David, Job, my Redeemer lives. These men knew where they were. And you will too if you come to Christ. Study him, seek him, learn of him, trust him. Don't be turned aside. And then he turned to his disciples privately And he said, oh, blessed are the eyes which see the things which you see. He's talking about you and me. He's talking about me and you. We see what they saw. We see what they wrote. We see what they preached. They saw his glory when he was transfigured. I read it and I see it. They saw the fullness of his mediatorial work. They saw that. Peter said, well, to whom shall we go? You got the words of life. I see that. I see what they saw. They saw his sufficiency as our Redeemer. Complete sufficiency. They saw the character of the Messiah fulfilled in him, the very character of God fulfilled in Christ. They saw that. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. They saw that. Blessed are the eyes that see the things you see. And I tell you, many prophets. Who's he talking about there? Well, Isaiah, Eli, those men. They saw him as promises afar off, but not literally actually fulfilled in the person who came to this earth. Blessed are the eyes that see what these apostles saw. Abraham saw my day, but oh, distantly. Moses wrote of my day, distantly. David, Solomon, these were kings, prophets and kings, have searched and sought to see these things that are so clear to us, so very, very clear. My generation has a revelation that very few generations have had. We have the writings of the old prophets, the pictures and types and shadows of Christ, all fulfilled in Christ. We've got the writings of these men who, John said, I touched him. I saw him. I heard him. I handled it, the word of life. We have the testimony of these men who died as martyrs for what they believed, for whom they believed. You've got the testimonies of the reformers, men through the centuries, people who knew God. We've got the examples of those who played with religion and departed. We've got the examples of those who knew God and lived and died for what they believed, the martyrs. We've seen, oh, blessed are the eyes which see the things that you've seen. I tell you, many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see, which are clearly preached to you this morning. And they've not seen them, and to hear these things which you hear. Well, they heard there's a Messiah coming. He's come. It's Jesus of Nazareth. He's fulfilled. Every jot and tittle, there's not a place here that he hasn't fulfilled. And I tell you, you can't see and hear this if you don't get acquainted with this record, the record God had given concerning his Son. That's what I'm trying to do. Go with this congregation verse by verse through this book that you might hear these things and see these things. They're not seen in the skies. They're not seen in people entertaining you in the name of religion. They're seen in the Word. They're heard in the Word. Heard in the Word. Though earth's foundations be removed down to the lowest deep, though all the trembling universe into destruction sweep, forever God, forever man, my Savior shall endure, and fixed on him my hope remains eternally secure. Christ alone, rejoice. Your name's written in heaven. That's the title of this message. Rejoice, your name's written in heaven.